It's a wonderful thing, my brothers and sisters, to learn to listen to the voice of God. Don't look for visions and dreams. And I'll tell you, the best way to learn to listen is get familiar with the Bible. See, don't ask God to speak to you in your heart if you don't read what's written down in the Bible. I spent years soaking myself in the Scriptures. And that's why I could hear God speaking in my heart. And if you don't soak yourself in the Scripture, don't expect God to speak to your heart. Then look for second-rate level like dreams and maybe a message on Sunday morning or something like that. That's not the best. It's good. But it's nothing to equal God speaking to your heart. Develop that habit. So, because Joseph heard this from God, he was sure God is going to do something. And I believe that's what strengthened him. You know the story where he was rejected, sold into Egypt, and he conducted himself well when he was sold in the jail. He conducted himself well. And ultimately, even though it took 13 years, he saw these dreams at the age of 17. 13 years later, he became the second ruler in Egypt. But in all those years, the thing that didn't, I'm sure, what encouraged him, which enabled him to work in such a way that everywhere he went, when he was a slave, Potiphar said, "The Lord is with him." When he was in jail, the chief jailer said, "The Lord is with him." How did he have that? Because he had in his mind, God has shown me something. It's a wonderful thing when you've seen what God has planned for you. Get familiar with the Scriptures. Then all these external things won't disturb you. And that's why, finally, when his brothers came to him, they were starving and they had to go to Joseph for food. And Joseph gave them plenty of food and called his father and gave them the best part of Egypt to live in. How did he do all that good to these people who had done so much evil to him? Can you think of somebody who has done evil to you? I mean, imagine if a close relative of yours, a close friend of yours, betrayed you and sold you as a slave and made you a miserable servant in somebody's house, and that you had to suffer, and then somebody accused you falsely there and you were put in jail for 5 or 10 years. Think of that. That's what Joseph went through. I don't think any of you have been through something as bad as that when somebody did that to you. And then one day you meet this person because he wants a favor from you. I mean, God has blessed you in such a way that this man comes to you for a favor. How will you treat him? Will you first give him a lecture, saying, "You remember how you treated me? Now God is punishing you"? No, 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 no. This old covenant Joseph, look how he treated him. See this wonderful, this is the Romans 8:28. Of the Old Testament. Genesis 50 verse 20. Genesis 50 and verse 20. It's a great verse. You must always remember it. I call it the Romans 8:28 of the Old Testament. "As for you, you meant evil against me. God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive." So, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He didn't have a verse of the Bible to say that. He had seen in the dream. To him, that was the Bible. God had spoken to him. And so, these people did evil, but that evil itself, it's not that God ignored the evil. That itself would have been a great thing. He used the evil to bring good. The evil was, "Sell this fellow to Egypt." God used that. The evil was, "Put him in jail." God used that to help him to meet Pharaoh's butler. So, the evil which they did was the very thing God used to bring good. It's like Calvary. The cross of Calvary where Jesus died is the greatest evil that was ever done on the face of this earth. There is no sin greater than that. And the killing of the Son of God. And the greatest good, the best thing that ever happened on the face of the earth was the death of Christ on Calvary. What does that teach? The cross of Christ teaches us not only that our sins are forgiven, that the devil was defeated, but it teaches us that the greatest evil that the devil can do against a child of God, that very thing, God can turn into the greatest good for that person. Have you understood that message from the cross? Even if you feel your sickness has come from the devil, Job's sickness came from the devil. God allowed it. Sometimes God allows it. Even if it came from the devil, the cross of Calvary was the devil's scheme, but it turned the tables on Satan and it became the greatest good. So never, never again complain against a person saying, he did this to me, or he cheated me, or he harmed me. Because he did this, my family is suffering. Because that person did this in the office, therefore I couldn't get my promotion. When will you become a true Christian? When will you become a true disciple of Jesus who can say, you meant evil for me? I mean, if I just say you meant evil for me, but it did not harm me, that itself would be a great thing. But one step higher than that, you meant evil for me, but that very evil God turned into good. We must have one or two experiences like that in our life. At least one or two. I've had a few experiences like that, where the evil that people did became the very thing that turned into something good. I mean, just the fact that I ignore some evil that somebody did, that itself is a victory. Or that you can forgive somebody for the evil that they did, that itself is a victory. Or you say, well, I don't mind, I praise the Lord for that, that is a victory. But to experience where that evil itself is the means by which God accomplishes something for you good, which would not have happened if that fellow had not done that evil, that's a tremendous experience of walking in the footsteps of Jesus. It really is true. And we've experienced that as a church as well. It's not just as individuals. You know, when you are an integral part of the church, I don't mean just a visitor who comes here, listens to messages, and goes away. There are a lot of people like that. They're not 100% committed to CFC. CFC is like a restaurant. Yeah, a good restaurant. It's a type of food you like. So you come regularly to the restaurant. And the wonderful thing about the restaurant is there's no charges for the food. The food is free. And you can come and eat. And you get lunch as well. And you say, well, this is a good place to go to. I'm not talking about such people. I'm talking about people who have committed themselves to this church, for whom this church and everything in this church is their family. I can say that. My relatives who live in Bangalore are not closer to me than the people in this church. And I don't mean everyone in this church. I'm not close to a lot of visitors in this church. I don't know them. A lot of people say they are CFC members, but are like visitors who are not committed. But those who are really totally committed, I tell you honestly before God, they are closer to me than my family members. Without a doubt. This is my family. And I say, when you come into that type of relationship in a church, only few people come like that, but when they do, their experience is what God uses to accomplish His purpose in the church. So everything that you go through, if you're a committed member, is going to bless the church. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. I want you to believe it. You know, sometimes we limit God by our unbelief. We should not limit God. It says that Jesus could not do many mighty works in one place because of their unbelief. I never want it to be said about me in the final day when I stand before the Lord, if the Lord says, you know, I wanted to do something through you over there when that person did so much evil to you. I wanted to do something fantastic, but you did not believe me. You got upset with that person. You got angry with that person. And you sat and thought a lot of evil about that person. And because that means you didn't believe in me. So I could not accomplish something I wanted to do through you, through that situation. And the Lord tells me this at the judgment seat of Christ. I say, oh Lord, forgive me. What shall I do now? The Lord says, there's nothing you can do about it now. You should have thought about it then. Is that going to happen to you? I have many times thought about it. I say, Lord, will you ever have to tell me at the judgment seat of Christ that one particular day when somebody did evil to me because of my wrong reaction to that person, you could not bring good out of that evil? Lord, let it never, never happen. Never, never, never. I want to make full use of everything God gives. It's like, you know, there are children, for example, who have rich parents who throw away the money that their parents give them because they have so much. You see rich people, children driving around in fancy cars here, and if they crash it, it doesn't matter. And they know they can get another car. They run over people on the road, and they know the father will somehow get them out of the jail and all that type of stuff. There are rich people's children are spoiled. They throw away their money. Is it possible that many of us, because we are receiving so much spiritual wealth and understanding of God, we're throwing away a lot of the wealth God wants us to have? And that's one reason why I believe that anointed prophets are not rising up in our midst as they should. See, the time has come when a younger generation should be getting up here, even in CFC, and speaking prophetically. People in their 40s should be speaking prophetically. If you've been here at least 20 years, definitely you should be the ones who are bringing a prophetic message, because not because you understood the theory and speak so much. No, not even because you have ability to speak, but because you've turned every experience you went through in life into something profitable for the glory of God. Our ministry does not come merely by studying the Bible. It comes through experiencing. And one of the things we got to experience is what Joseph experienced here. Forgiving people who have hurt us.